You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What is up? What is happening? That is right. It is In This League. Our style is defensible. Our something is impregnable. How does that go, Bogman?
Impetuous. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Listen, everybody, In This League is impetuous and impregnable and all those words and stuff. I don't know. I love them. I love these guys.
I love it so much, I got to smash it right in the face.
Yeah, love it so much, you got to crack your microphone. You got to crack it across its face like my teeth. What's up? It's In This League. We got a killer show for you today. There's football happening as we are talking in the live setting. In the live setting, there's football happening. Nothing important, though. You can listen to us. All the good people are gone. We have an incredible show, though, because Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com and the co-host of the Audible podcast is joining us in the next segment to talk, Bogman, football. Football!
Football! Huck it, chuck it all night.
Hour two, Adam Azer from CBS is going to be joining us. He's going to hear the results of a bet that he probably forgot about that he made with us that we are going to catch him on air with. We're going to talk football and baseball.
The Welsh might also be hearing a bet that he forgot about in there.
No, we're good. I'm the host. So I don't have to. It's actually a legal thing. If you host a show, you don't have to follow through with a bet. But on that show, it's legally binding. voice is heard more than anyone else's on a show, you're legally binded not to.
We'll see what Twitter feels about that. I bet Twitter won't agree with you at all on there.
Let's hope not. But we'll talk football. We'll talk baseball. And throughout the show, I'm incredibly. I mean, how perfect was it for Red Heat and Rage to completely destroy our open segment here by spending their last segment talking about the jerseys and stuff? And they didn't like it. I like it a lot more though. And I mean, there's a lot that were garbage. A lot of guys didn't try. Let's put a poll up because we love to spend our first segment with polls. Bogman, it's our favorite thing.
I like how Granky's just Granky. By the way,
A lot of guys. Dickie was just Dickie. You know, like they could have gotten better with it. But there were four that I picked that I thought were the best. So let's put this out on FNTSY Radio on the Twitter handle and go and vote. And we'll go through the show and maybe we'll unveil some nicknames for us. I would love to hear what your guys' nicknames for us will be and our guests. But here are the four best that I picked. Kyle Seegers on the back of his jerseys. Everyone knows, by the way, the Players Week, they're going to allow nicknames to be on the back of jerseys for Major League Baseball, and they're selling them. So a lot of guys pick nicknames. Kyle Seegers, he put Corey's brother, which is just, I think, the best. Aaron Judge has All Rise, as it should be, of course. Lance McCullers and Colin McHugh have a hilarious one. Each McCullers has Snapdragon 1, and McHugh has Snapdragon 2, and then Robinson Cano has Don't You Know. Don't You Know, Robbie Cano.
Robbie Cano, don't you know? I like that one. What's yours? Have one for me? Mine would be Uber Eater.
Yeah,
right?
I got one. Yeah, maybe just Eater. That would be good. But Eater.
Come on. Uber Eats.
No,
Uber
I mean, come on. Yeah, that's true. You are an Uber Eater for sure. I don't know. Let's hear what everyone has to say. Go look for the poll on FNTSY. Vote on that one and then let us know what you think ours are. It's going to be pretty good. All right, coming up on the other side of the break, it's Sigmund Bloom, fantasy football guy, thefootballguys.com. More coming up in this league.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
It's In This League.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world? Says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
In This League, brought to you by FNTSY. Maybe Carl's Jr. at some point, Bogman. Do you frequent the Carl's Jr.?
You know it. You know I frequent the Carl's Jr. Come on, man. It's a fast
you
food place
know
within,
it.
Within driving distance of me. I like the double Western bacon cheeseburger. That's my go-to there. Strong.
I'm not sure I've ever had Carl's Jr. Yeah, I don't know if I ever have. But I can tell you what everybody else is going to have here in a completely platonic way, nothing to do with food or any other innuendos. It is a dear friend of ours from footballguys.com, the co-host of the Audible podcast, one of the great follows and you know, reads and listens in the fantasy football world. He is Sigmund Bloom, and he is on with us right now. Sigmund, what's up, my man?
I'm just like everybody else, buzzing the football world. We've had real news to chew on for a couple of weeks now. Wheels in motion in our head and ready to put it all in motion in the drafts and then get the season on.
It's a beautiful thing.
We're
like
ready.
Like football is happening as like we're talking and football is being played in America right now.
Yeah, and the like, beautiful thing is we're already putting our beliefs to the test.
Yeah, totally. And that's the best thing. My favorite thing about today, if people are kind of following it, at least you know, if you're listening on demand, this is kind of the past news, but what happened within a quarter of football is apparently Kelvin Benjamin is going to be the next
second round pick,
Kelvin Benjamin. So obviously the big debate here, Sigmund, is Odell Beckham Jr. or Kelvin Benjamin this year.
Right. Well, and that's, I suppose, a bit of a byproduct of, you know, this a Wednesday night game in the preseason. But I do think it does highlight that the lasting image that we all had of Kelvin Benjamin this offseason was 270-pound Kelvin Benjamin and conditioning issues and so on. But he's still the number one receiver for this team. And even though it hasn't always been pretty, he's put up wide receiver two numbers in his rookie year and in his third year. And last year he was coming in off of an ACL tear. So this should be the best Kelvin Benjamin that we've seen to this point. And without Ted Ginn there should be some extra targets for him. So he's hovering around the sixth round and looks like a decent value right now before tonight.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. So footballguys.com and the Audible podcast, two mainstays in the fantasy football world. Anything that we need to make sure that our listeners and the FNTSY listeners know to be on the lookout for over at Football Guys or the Audible podcast? What do you got going on?
Absolutely. What people need to know about at Football Guys right now is through the end of this week, you can enter our giveaway, footballguys.com/giveaway, and we're giving away this is good. We're giving away hundreds of our DFS books and free apps and subscriptions. But first prize, grand prize, is and you get in a league with 11 Football Guy staffers. And if you can win that league, I think it's a best ball league. If you can win that league, you'll get $10,000. You'll get a spot on our staff next year. You'll get to come to our staff retreat. And you'll get a spot, like this is the smallest part of it, you'll get a spot on the couch with me. You get to appear on my show. So I think that's a really excellent prize. And, you know, there's hundreds of other prizes. But footballguys.com/giveaway. If you're already a subscriber, you can still enter. We're excited about it. And we're excited to see how the grand prize winner does against us.
Do you take bribes?
Yeah, I was about to say, hosts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network possibly enter that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody can enter. So footballguys.com/giveaway. And it's going to be fun. I can't wait to see how the league goes. Also, there's, I think, 10 spots where you compete against David Dodd, the massive brain of Football Guys. And if you beat him, you get $100. So
this is pretty badass. All right, footballguys.com. Go check out the Audible podcast. Sigmund bringing the heat. I love it. Let's all go do that contest. We'll get the ITL Nation to back that up and go sign up. Let's have in some fashion ITL invade footballguys.com. That is an incredibly, incredibly cool prize. But how about we talk about some football, Sigmund? Sound good?
Yeah.
I know you've been doing a little bit of that lately, right?
All right,
well, we talked about it. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No.
Oh, I was saying, yeah, you had the mention of the shape of Kelvin Benjamin, which is just like a perfect transition to one of the first things I wanted to talk about. This is already a thing, I guess, But today, as we're talking about Kevin Benjamin news popping up, this one I thought was pretty interesting, and I'm really excited to hear your take. Bob Condotta, let's say.
Yeah.
He is a he covers the Seattle Seahawks for the Seattle Times, puts out a tweet that says, Lacey working solely with the backup units during team drills, Rawls appears the clear number one right now. Eddie Lacy, Thomas Rawls, we're going to do some battles because that's kind of where we're at right now. It's a camp battle time. No one has necessarily solidified positions. So let's just start right off the bat. Lacy, Rawls, did that tweet do anything to what you were already previously kind of thinking about these guys? Talk to me about Lacy versus Rawls.
Sure. Sure. It had to. It had to, because every incarnation we've seen of Eddie Lacy in the past was the lead back for the Green Bay Packers. And he didn't get automatic starter money, like a one-year, $3 million deal, I think. That doesn't scream, we're going to give him 300 touches, but you still think they sign Eddie Lacy with a plan of having Eddie Lacy get the most touches in the backfield, or at the very least be in close to a timeshare with Thomas Rawls, probably a better goal line back. I think he's a better receiver out of the backfield than Rawls. And, you know, let's mention C.J. Precise has some role, pretty sizable role also in this backfield. But we thought it'd be Lacy, Rawls 1-1A at least. That's like a worst case scenario for Lacy. And the collective hive mind of fantasy football reflected this in the way that Lacy was going in the 6th or 7th round, and Rawls is going in the 12th, 13th, 14th round even in some drafts. Now we think that might not flip. I don't think we're going to see Rawls get to the 6th or 7th round and Lacy fall into that part of drafts. But I now think this becomes a much more muddled situation because Lacy had ankle surgery in November of last year, I think. So it isn't like the ankle, they're bringing him back slowly because of the ankle at this point. I think we have to assume that Rawls is running hot. And remember, Rawls last year was coming back off of a pretty gnarly ankle surgery and then had an injury during the season. So maybe we haven't seen Rawls. Remember, at the end of his rookie year, Rawls looked like he was on his way to being an entrenched starter in the NFL. Not so much last year, some ups and downs once he came back. Maybe Rawls is just finally picking up where he left off in his development. So this just gets cloudier, and maybe the answer is here to stay away from all the Seattle backs, because if they're splitting, this isn't like the New Orleans backfield, where the New Orleans backfield routinely produces big games. Even though they often have a timeshare, there's big games. Last year it was Hightower to have a big game, Ingram to have a big game. Seattle, with the exception of a few games that Christian Michael had a handful of touchdowns, wasn't really a great running game, and I do think the offense should still run through Russell Wilson. So maybe this clouding of the situation might mean just stay away from that backfield in your draft.
That's cankle surgery for Eddie Lacy, I think.
Yeah,
actually. What about in Cincinnati segment? We got Joe Mixon going off at 39, right. Gio Bernard going off at 134, and Jeremy Hill going off at 129. We thought Gio was going to take a little bit longer to get back. Seems like he's back and he's good to go. How does that kind of muddy this situation?
Oh, it definitely does. And I think before Bernard was ready to go at the beginning of training camp, there was some talk that he might even miss a few games into the season. And the script, the idea would be that Joe Mixon would share with Jeremy Hill, basically blow Jeremy Hill away, and in general blow away the Bengals and show them that he needs to be a 20 to 25 touch back, or he can do everything. I mean, he's a back who compares favorably to, say, Matt Forte, where he can receive out of the backfield, he can pass block, he can break tackles, he can elude players, he can break long runs, he can do all of those things. And if once he did that in the first few weeks with no Giovanni Bernard, then they couldn't put him back in the bottle. But now that Bernard looks as good as he does, as healthy as he does, you pencil him in for 150, 175 touches, some passing down work, and Jeremy Hill will probably still get some short yardage work. It's hard to tell a story where Mixon takes over this backfield now. That being said, we've seen in the past that talent does create opportunity, so maybe folks that are taking the Mixon in the third or fourth round will be vindicated once they start to play. But right now, he's got some big obstacles.
Who's your guy here, by the way? Because with the battles here, we're going to continue. We got about a minute here. On the other side of the break, we're going to continue with some of these battles. A little theme of the show that would have been better if I would properly set it up in the last segment to open to the show. But some more battles here. So Mixon going 39, Bernard going at 134, Jeremy going about 129. With about 30 seconds here, which side do you sit on as far as your drafting habits would go?
Yeah, probably none of the above. Maybe Giovanni Bernard in a PPR league as depth for bye weeks and injuries and emergencies. But where Joe Mixon is going, if I'm going to take a shot on a running back in the late third, early fourth round, it's Marshawn Lynch. And that's just sentimental, but also because I think that while DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard both got over 100 touches last year, so there were some obstacles to opportunity, Latavius Murray still turned that situation into low running back one numbers, where the Cincinnati offensive line is going in the opposite direction. And I just think that Lynch is the guy I'm going to tell myself a fairy tale about more than Mixon at that point.
All right, I like fairy tales. It's bedtime stories. Bedtime stories with Marshawn Lynch. Yeah. That'll be a new kids book, just like all my friends are dead, like that book we talked about, Bogman. I think if there's any of these, Joe Mixon is maybe like when we look at the back end of the season or when we look in September right before the drafts happen. I think I'm going to look back on Joe Mixon as being the player that I changed my mind on the most from, let's say, early July to the beginning of September. And I think a lot of people would probably agree with that. We've got more coming up on the other side of this break. He is Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com and a co-host of the Audible podcast. It is more Battle Wars coming up on the other side of this break. It's In This League with Bogman and the Welsh. Don't go anywhere.
RotoExpert.com. Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package.
Brand new for 2017, RotoExperts.com presents the Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Roll with me through the 2017 season as I get you ready to draft and dominate all season long. It's only going to cost you $20 to win your fantasy league this year. Hell, you spend 10 times that on a Friday night and leave empty-handed. The Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package features articles, videos, and rankings that will help you be the man in your home, office, or high-stakes leagues. Plus, you get private access to the Fantasy Executive Snapchat, where you can interact with me directly. Head on over to rotoexperts.com and sign up for the Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Chill with me all season long and win big in 2017 with the Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package powered by rotoexperts.com.
What's up? In This League, back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It is Bogman. It's me, the Welsh, and we are joined by the great Sigmund Bloom over at footballguys.com, and you can hear him on the Audible podcast. Go to footballguys.com. Check them out. They've got an awesome contest we talked about in the first segment, giving away 10 grand. Spot on a couch with Sigmund. That was actually the order. They're getting like five or six things away in this really cool contest. And the order of importance was $10,000 and get to like hang on the couch with Sigmund. Because really, like anytime a couch is involved, I know the day can't go in the wrong direction. You know what I mean, Sigmund?
No, it's true. It's true. On the couch is you know, it's a bit of a double entendre because of my name, Sigmund, and I try to psychoanalyze or you get to the mental, intellectual, psychological layer underneath football and fantasy football. But also, we all like to plant ourselves on the couch every Sunday, and you know, for some of us, we actually get to call it work, which is just silly.
Yeah, and for some of us, it's a lifestyle that's. Yeah, some of us, it's going to lifestyle that's going to kill us at 38 or something like that, Bogman. Like you and I.
Who are you talking about?
Uber Eats. All right, let's get back to this. We're back to it's battle. It's battle day in this league where we're just talking a lot about camp battles. It's the big conversation that's happening here, and we are having to decipher through a lot of the waves and the mess that is fantasy football and positional issues. We just talked about a few of them here. This one I think is really, really interesting, and it's a totally common one where you get I wouldn't call him an established running back, but the best running back, quote unquote, on a team. And then you get a high-end rookie that a coach falls in love with. And I look at the Spencer Ware versus Kareem Hunt situation, and I was at a little bit of a loss recently. But Spencer Ware, with an ADP, at least as far as PPR goes, according to Fantasy Pros, at 47 versus Kareem Hunt, which is at 113. So, Sigmund, where do you stand if you had to pick one of these guys based on the ADP, Kareem Hunt or Spencer Ware?
If I had to pick one, it would be Hunt just because he's cheaper. But I think this is another one that we can handle in one take, in the sense that the lack of clarity makes me want to avoid this one, because I think Hunt can take enough away from Ware to make him more of a flex play, a boom bust play, without as big of a boom as he had when Charcandrick West was the only obstacle between him and touches. But I also don't see Hunt overtaking Ware. I don't see Hunt displacing him and getting enough work that you're comfortable starting Hunt every week. So if Ware's getting 15, 18 touches a week, Hunt is getting 8 to 12 touches a week. How this is going to play out is you're not going to be happy that you drafted either one.
What about the wide receiver situation, the slot situation in Philly? We've got Jordan Matthews is going off at 121. Nelson Aguilar still going off at 238. But all the talk of camp is that Nelson Aguilar is the darling. But then Peterson came out and said that Jordan Matthews' role is not going to change. So which one are we buying here? Probably not either one, but if you had to pick one, which one would it be?
Probably Matthews, just because, just based on his production over the first 3 years of his career, he can outproduce that very cheap price. This is by far the cheapest it's been to get him in drafts, but there's a good reason, because they haven't had outside receivers like Alshon Jeffery and Torrey Smith. I would think that if those players play up to their past, play up to their potential, to what they're getting paid, then Jordan Matthews becomes more of a 60-70 catch player, and every week is not somebody, you know, his production could be roughly Mohamed Sanu, you know, players going even after him in the draft. So I just think that Philadelphia is not really a place where we would look for the slot receiver to have a big year now that they have legitimate outside receivers, and that also applies to Zach Ertz.
Yeah, that's a good point. How about another wide receiver situation that is not ideal in nature, but it does have a lot of really interesting, cheap, late wide receivers that you could pick from, but the decision for a lot of people is going to be, where do I go? Robert Woods, we're going to the Rams, by the way. Robert Woods with an ADP of 150, Tavon Austin with an ADP of 183, and the talk of camp, which can be great or dangerous, Cooper Kupp with an ADP of 213. Who are your targets here with the Rams?
Yeah, I would say if I'm going to take one, it would be Tavon Austin, just because he can create big plays. He had some big weeks last year, even in the absolute disaster that this pass offense was. But can this pass offense even support one? In some ways, the fact that Woods and Kupp are upgrades from what they had. I mean, maybe Woods isn't an upgrade from Kenny Britt, but he can be a competent outside receiver. Kupp can certainly give them a very competent route runner and possession target on third down. So if they're all solid players, including Tavon Austin, you know, and the other thing is this offense was just morose last year. I think Sean McVay is like a Prozac or something for this offense. They'll perk back up. but who's really going to be the consistent weekly option? I don't think it's going to be any of them. So I would take the one with the highest ceiling. But unless we see Jared Goff take a big step forward, this isn't really a place to look for somebody that's going to blow away their ADP.
Well, a good place that you're going to be able to get into the mind of Sigmund Bloom is going to be over at the Audible podcast. And you guys covered a bunch of interesting things recently. I know Bogman has a kind of a topic to talk about that you guys talked about. But maybe the setup real quick. We got 5 or 6 minutes here. Just real quick, who are a few guys that you notice you are starting to gravitate towards, whether it's in conversation, mock drafts, real drafts, and possibly their players, even if you don't want to hone in on a draft way to look at it, guys that you might be higher on than the collective industry? A couple guys that Sigmund's on.
Yeah, I'm finding myself gravitating to Corey Davis. And I know that he's out right now, week to week, with a hamstring injury, and that's part of the reason I'm gravitating to him. I think that he will be put right into the starting lineup as soon as he's ready to come back. And then, you know, there's a bust factor here of he comes back and re-injures the hamstring, so be it. If he's falling to the 9th, 10th, or 11th round, I'm willing to take that chance for the upside here, because he missed a lot of the spring with his ankle injury, came in and started dominating practice, was a starting wide receiver ahead of Eric Decker, and then gets hurt with his hamstring. But Odell Beckham showed us that sometimes a rookie doesn't need to ramp up in the summer to be able to make an impact in the regular season. I loved his game. They were zeroed in on him as the number 5 pick, even though they didn't get to see him work out, even though he didn't get a chance to work out at the combine and show his measurables. He was coming from a small school. And I had a feeling about this player. And even though the injury is slowing down his development, I think that we saw the breakout start at the beginning of training camp when he was, by all accounts, dominating practices. as a rookie, and we may see him dominate some games. And staying with Tennessee, I like Derrick Henry. I like Derrick Henry because you can get him in the seventh or eighth round, and he might win your league. And I think he's going to force them into giving him as many touches as, say, Tevin Coleman gets and still be a solid flex play. So I think he can deliver value on that seventh or eighth round pick, even if he doesn't become the starter, even if DeMarco Murray stays healthy. But if Murray goes down, jackpot.
Love it. I love the takes. I've been pretty big on the Titans offense, too. It's just,
yeah,
you know, it seems like there's a divide whether your team Corey Davis or your team Rishard Matthews. You know what I mean? And I think I'm with you. I lean towards Rishard Matthews more. But I wanted to ask you, I found it very interesting. I was listening to your live podcast from Vegas, and you got a question about Gronk. And then after the question about Gronk, you kind of talked about zigging when everyone's zagging this year as far as draft strategy, how you like to take two high-end running backs, a big tight end like Gronk, and a quarterback high, and then kind of buy in on all the wide receivers. Is that right? Did I hear you correct, or am I making that up?
No, I think that is right.
Now, the thing that I found really, really interesting was, and it was a great point that you made, is you said everyone is going to be trying to get running backs because they're always hurt, or the zero running back system, people are letting them fall. So a lot of fab money is going to be bid on running backs, and you would rather be plucking up wide receivers than running backs. I found that fascinating and very, very smart, too. I thought it was a great strategy.
Yeah, I think players like, you know, Tyrell Williams, for instance, last year. I think that Terrell Pryor was probably even on a few waiver wires last year. That people are trying to beat each other to the punch on running backs because their draft strategy includes, well, I'm going to try to find one on the waiver wire where wide receivers, everybody spends a lot of early picks on wide receivers, and they're not combing over the early wide receiver potential breakouts with nearly the same detail or the same eagerness to pick them up. And the other part of this strategy is that wide receiver is just so deep. You know, I see wide receivers in the third round who can produce like the wide receivers in the first round. I see them in the fourth round, guys like Golden Tate or Michael Crabtree that I feel very comfortable as my number two. In the fifth round, you can get guys, you can get, Emmanuel Sanders, Kelvin Benjamin, who we talked about. You can get Pierre Garçon in the fifth or sixth round. You just keep going down the board. I like Marvin Jones. I like Ted Ginn. I think he's being completely overlooked. Cameron Meredith's in the sixth, seventh round. He could definitely lead Chicago in targets. Adam Thielen was coming on from Minnesota. He's somebody you can get in seventh or eighth round. Tyler Lockett I still like in the second half of my drafts. So I'm fine with, say, spending five picks between, say, the fifth round and the 12th round on wide receivers and just seeing if I can get three hits, including all three of those Tennessee receivers. So there's a lot to choose from. And it's a numbers game where there's no way your league can keep you from having some of those wide receivers available for you when you're on the clock.
What's really interesting about that, Bogman, we have a term for that at ITL that I such an amazing term I coined, hashtag top tier players. That's what that thought process is there. And we're 100% in on the heavy running backs on the top end. We've only got about 30, 45 seconds here. Can you just talk about Gronk real quick with a 21 ADP? Like how are you on with Gronk at 21?
Because when he was healthy for four games, and that might be the lead, he was only healthy for four games. When he was healthy for four games last year, he basically outproduced any wide receiver during that period. So it's almost an unfair advantage if you can get that. When healthy, he's one of the five most valuable players in fantasy football. I'll take that chance on him, and if it flames out, it flames out. But if it works out, then I've got a big advantage.
No doubt. I love it. All right, he is Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com, co-host of the Audible podcast. Make sure you go and check that out wherever podcasts are heard. Go to footballguys.com and register for that incredibly cool contest that is going on throughout the rest of this week. If you're listening live or if you're listening on demand Monday, Thursday or Friday, you will be all set to sign up. Sigmund, thank you so much for joining us. We always appreciate your time, my friend, and look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks, anytime.
All right, we'll be back. More In This League coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's Bogman of the Welsh. Be right back.
Is
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Hi, I'm Austin Hedges, and you're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready to party!
That's right, always ready to party in this league on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're battling. Battle, Bogman. Battle, camp battles and stuff. I don't know. Camp battles, it's hard to buy into. It's hard, like, especially because we eat this stuff
unless
up.
They're on Hard Knocks. If they're I really like
did you watch
battles.
It?
Well, I did. There was real no camp battles in the first episode. They were like,
did Jameis Winston get on the table and yell with crabs and say incendiary things?
No. They went to his like the house he grew up in, and you know, bomb.
They should have went to the school that he went on the table in, and then they should have went to the grocery store that
he stole the crab legs.
That would have been great. What were they thinking?
I don't know, but probably that they actually wanted him to cooperate and be on the TV. They're like, hey, is this the place where you got arrested stealing stuff, Jameis? Is that it?
This is cool. So, this is cool.
How about
which crab exactly did you steal?
Jameis Winston versus staying out of trouble. How do you like that as a battle?
Oh, okay. I'm going to say that Jameis Winston can win that because he's all grown up. Mikey wins because I think he's in a good spot now. Doesn't need to prove anything standing on tables and grabbing things, and doesn't need to grab any crap. So I will say that he is in good place. So speaking of which here, let's talk about at the end of this segment. You know, we've already talked. We've got a couple things going on here on the show. I want to know about the best nickname jerseys. Give us nicknames. So if you want to tweet at us at Is It the Welsh at Body
Dicey.
Sports. If you, I know it is, it's a little dicey. But if you guys got nicknames that we could put on the back of our jerseys, I want to hear as well. Use the hashtag ITLLive when you tweet at us. And the next hour, we've got a segment we're going to be dedicating to answering your fantasy football, baseball questions, anything like that. So drop it. Drop it on there. And I'm also, I got a fun battle that I want to talk about at the end of this segment that'll extend into the next segment. There's a couple camp battles that are going on that are interesting. We just talked with Sigmund about Eddie Lacy and Rolls. We talked about the Joe Mixon and the Bengals situation. I want to ask you particularly about the Jaguars situation. And let's say let's use a scale system, 1 to 10. Or maybe we could do the Bog system, 5 Bogs being the worst,
no,
1 Bog being
no.
the best.
Let's just go 1 to 10. 10 being all right. like this news really matters. 1 being this news doesn't matter.
Okay. Jacksonville. Leonard Fournette drafted as the top guy, but they're now saying that Chris Ivory could be the short yardage back, splitting some carries. And you got TJ Yeldon, who's kind of the receiving back. On a scale of 1 to 10, I really want to use the Bog system, but I guess I can't. 1 to 10, no. How important is this Chris Ivory Fournette news?
Like a 2. I mean, you don't spend a number 4 pick on a running back to have Chris Ivory be the short yardage back or the goal line back or any of that stuff. I mean, I think this is just, you know, maybe Leonard is a little bit behind the 8 ball as far as camp goes. But once he gets on the field and he starts doing Leonard Fournette things, they're going to be like, Ivory, who? Mm-hmm. Who is that? I can't remember his name. Oh, that's the guy that we had last year? No wonder we sucked. Leonard
you know
Fournette
who I saw?
Is going to be amazing.
I think I saw Mike Clay, was it, that was on Twitter, but whoever it was, they likened this situation to Ezekiel Elliott. Remember last year where it was like, well, McFadden and maybe Morris is going to get a little bit of run, so let's temper down Ezekiel Elliott going 4 overall. They likened this to a similar situation to say, don't buy into the hype. Leonard Fournette is going to be just fine.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to. Leonard Fournette's going to be the guy. Don't anybody worry about that. What about this one, though? And I know we're in the middle of an IDP slow draft, and you just took Zay Jones, and you were very upset by this news. Anquan yeah. Boldin signed with the Bills. I mean, scale of 1 to 10, how important is that?
I mean, it is big. It's a big deal because he's a major, major three-set target. And you know, Tygod, he got 3,000 yards last year, which is fantastic, but he's still going to get his rushing yards. So if you're really going to like hunker down and say, okay, this is a quarterback, unlike a lot of the rest of the league who's going to go out and get maybe 4,000, 4,500 yards, you're probably getting 3,000 to 3,300 from Tygod. You got LeSean McCoy, who's a big option. You've already got Sammy Watkins. You just added Anquan Boldin with Zay Jones. How much, you know, how quick is Zay Jones going to be able to pick up this offense to be a major target here? And Zay Jones, I think they're putting Boldin in the slot, which is going to make him the safety option, which kind of sucks because I was hoping maybe Zay could move into that as well. I don't know, man. I think I wouldn't be shocked if Zay could even overcome Sammy Watkins, but it may be a next year thing. This news, which has become a battle of Anquan Boldin, I would say, I think it's a seven out of 10 on the concern scale for a person like Zay Jones, because Boldin, he's just going to get his run. I mean, do you agree?
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that, you know, Boldin is, the slower he gets, the more of a tight end he is, really. I mean, he was everything you wanted out of Eric Ebron last season in Detroit. So, I don't know. Like, it definitely hurts Zay because he's going to be the wide receiver number two. Zay will have less time on the field this year. But, you know, Sammy Watkins, like we said before, likes to get hurt. If Sammy Watkins doesn't have injury concerns, he's probably a top 10 wideout. But he just does. You know, he's
been hurt.
Well,
that's never happened.
So. Right, exactly. What about Jamaal Charles sitting out preseason week one? Hasn't cut at full speed yet. This is another guy that you drafted. Are you worried about that?
Preface this when you talk about this. This is a 16-man with IDP, with keepers, and I took him
in
the 10th round.
You did, right.
Yeah, well, I needed a backup running back.
I'm just kidding. You're just
picking on
me. Dude, I just took Chris Thompson. Give me a break. Come on.
Yeah. I don't know. My problem with Jamaal Charles is the conflicting reports, because we heard he was cutting like a week ago. He was cutting and things were looking better. And then in a 24-hour period, he was going to play in the first preseason game, and then he's not. And CJ Anderson is there. So I would call it, I'm going to give it a 3. Because I think, like, this is what we expect from Jamaal Charles. Like, I think they said Gronk isn't even going to play in the preseason. I don't need Jamaal Charles to play a bunch in the preseason. I need his 10 to 13 touches in season, and I need them to be explosive like he does. So I would say it's minimal at best.
I guess I would say it's a 5, just because, you know, I think you're right, and we're not going to see anything out of him before the preseason starts, or before the regular season starts. I don't think we're going to see any of him in the preseason, and that's worrisome going into the first week. But even if he doesn't play the first couple weeks. Oh, of course it does. I'm a big Texas guy and a big Jamaal Charles guy. And
you said guy wrong. You meant Homer. You said Homer wrong. Homer, not guy.
Yeah. Well, guy, Homer, you know, it's all the same to me. So.
Okay. All right. I want to ask you this, Beer, because when I thought of battles, I was thinking of all-time battles. And actually, you know, what popped in my mind was, you know, Game of Thrones is on my mind. And we were actually talking about, you know, no spoilers or anything, but the previous episode was pretty amazing. As most Game of Thrones episodes are, but it brought me back to thinking about some of my favorite episodes, and one of those was the Battle of the Bastards. Jon Snow, Ramsay Bolton. But then it just got me in this whole vibe of talking about camp battles. I was thinking, Bogman, what are the best battles of all time? So I have some options. I don't know if this is worthy of a poll. It doesn't matter. Pavona can decide. I have got some options here that I'm going to throw out. I want to hear what someone else thinks. You know, tweet at us. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? Hashtag ITL Live. Some of the best battles they could. I'm not talking about what is it? Like 300, you know? Like the, what was the, I can't remember the guy.
Okay.
Whatever the movie, the guy is 300. The Leonidas, like Leonidas versus, I'm not talking necessarily that, though I guess you could throw it out here.
You're talking
here's
about
that
like
came up with Bogman.
Josh Gordon versus sobriety.
Yes, that's exactly. Well, I mean, Josh, actually a great battle would be sobriety. That would be the headline. This would be like the undercard to McGregor and Mayweather. Josh Gordon versus Justin Blackman. Who comes out on who comes out on top? Spoiler alert, nobody.
Pot ever. Salesman. All
yeah,
the
exactly.
Pot salesmen.
So here's some battles. and you decide, Bogman, and if you can throw any out here. Rocky versus Apollo Creed. That was a great battle, right? All time.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay. Luke versus Darth Vader. I feel like this is up your
like
house
that.
Because you're a nerd.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, I'm a nerd. I like that one.
Okay. For the wrestling fans, Stone Cold versus Vince McMahon. That was like a 10-year run thing, right?
That's a big nerdy one. I mean, really, anyone versus Vince McMahon was big.
Yeah, but Stone Cold was like the first of it. And then I want to throw out Jon Snow versus Ramsay Bolton. So Rocky versus Apollo, Luke versus Darth Vader, Stone Cold versus McMahon, Jon Snow versus Ramsay Bolton. All-time great battles. Now, I do have some battles that are a little sketchy. Should we talk about the sketchy ones here, Boggs?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Here's the, I don't know, this is the B-side to the best battles here, and please, let's hear what people think. First one, similar to your Josh Gordon one, OJ versus a guilty plea. What do you think about that one? It's a tough one. It's a tough battle.
You're not going to mess with that one.
No? Okay. The People versus Larry Flint. That one just seemed funny.
Larry Flint. Larry
Flint. Of course, Larry Flint. this one, I wrote this down and it just makes us laugh. ITL versus weight loss. Spoiler alert.
Remember how excited I got? I don't think I got any more excited than when I was talking about Carl's Jr. earlier in the show. So, you know.
How about Eddie Lacy versus China food, as he would call it?
How about Eddie Lacy versus weight loss? He's actually winning,
Eddie Lacy.
I guess. He's getting bonus checks.
Yeah, Eddie Lacy versus you and I would be a good one, but he's doing like physical activity. We're on the couch with Sigmund Bloom here, and Eddie Lacy's out running and eating China food.
Yeah, exactly. I love China food, but I don't love it nearly as much as Eddie Lacy. I think Joe calls him Cheeseburger Eddie. Like in what's the name of that movie? The jail movie where they're all playing football. Why can't it just left my brain. I can't remember the name of it.
I know what you're talking about. Pavone.
The longest yard. The longest yard. There we go. I got it.
All right. Yeah. Oh, he was like 2 seconds behind you. All right. That's pretty good stuff. More battle talk. We've got maybe some more battles we'll talk about. If you guys have any of your opinions, tweet at us. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports best battles of all time in any capacity? You can let us know. And in the second hour, we got Adam Azer. So don't go anywhere. Bogman of the Welsh in this league. We got more.
Want the most accurate predictions for the upcoming college football season? Then you need to get the GoForTheChew.com Power 5 Preview, available now at RotoExperts.com. I'm college football analyst Joe Lisi, and my predictions and insights have been featured nationwide parlaying my successful predictions in Las Vegas. I get you ready for the upcoming year with in-depth breakdowns of every Power 5 team, schedule analysis, Heisman favorites, and much more. The GoForTheChew.com Power 5 Preview at RotoExperts.com. Get it now and cash in later.
Yeah, in this league. I just can't rap. I always want to. Anytime we come into something like that, I want to be like, one, No, let's not do that. Let's not be let's not be the most embarrassing person in radio, because plenty of people that could fill that shoes. Let's not be that person. I'd like to hear you.
Yeah,
rap,
let's
though.
Try not
I'd
to. Pay.
Nope. Okay, I got a new.
Why would you just do that? Why would you say I cannot rap at all? But let's have you do it, fat boy. Go ahead, have a great time.
Here's the new idea. Where we'll start the GoFundMe. It'll be Bogman on a treadmill that eats a Carl's Jr. and then raps about the Carl's Jr. burger.
I mean, all I like out of that is eating Carl's Jr.
Well, I mean, none of the rest of that maybe is good for me. We'll set it like $1,000. $1,000 GoFundMe that we split 50-50.
I'll do it for $1,000. So,
yeah, well, you get $500.
No, I don't think so. I get at least $999. So you can have $1 for the idea. $1, that's what you get.
That's not going to work. So I will cost as much as who was that pitcher that just got traded for $1?
Ernesto Friere.
Yeah, Friere got traded for $1. That's amazing. By the way, rumor going on, according to Jerry Krasnick of ESPN, that the Indians are working on a deal to acquire Jay Bruce.
I like that for the Indians. They could use another big-handed lefty bat. So, and that probably says that Michael Brantley could be pretty damn hurt.
Can you imagine? By the way, just Pavona sent us some stuff. What was it? Like Entourage? What, Pavona, come on here. What are you talking about? Entourage was someone sold for $1 too.
So remember the episode of I don't know. Did you guys watch Entourage a lot?
I wasn't a big Entourage guy.
So one of the episodes is where the guy plays Pablo Escobar in Medellin, and it turns out to be like this big flop. It gets, you know, booed at the Cannes Film Festival, and the film ends up getting bought for $1.
That's like, well, okay. I can't, like, nowadays, you, like, you know, the quote-unquote dollar menu, it's like $1.07. So can you imagine, wouldn't you just rather be released? It's the ultimate insult on the planet for anything to be a dollar outside of joining the ITL Army, which you can join and you can support in this league for a dollar. Those are the best insults. Outside of that, being traded for a dollar is absurd.
It's the most absurd thing in the world. I hate it. He should have been released, or, you know, like, I mean, trade him for a bucket of baseballs or something. That costs more than a dollar. Just something. You know, I would rather be traded for the washing machine like Monix and Semi-Pro. I would rather be traded for anything else than a dollar. That's the worst. God.
Yeah.
You get a bag of Carl's Jr. is more expensive than a dollar. I'd rather be traded for that.
We talk about that type of stuff. It's crazy. So quick update here. We got a whole lot going on. We got a couple polls that are out there. We had the best nickname for an MLB jersey from the Players Week that's coming up. Corey Seager's Corey's Brother jersey apparently is running away with the best nickname. It's got 46%, but New York is coming in. By the way, 69 votes, so nice.
Nice.
He's got 36%. And we got another poll out there, which I want you guys to go check out. It's in honor of NFL training camp battles. Which battle is the best one? Apollo versus Rocky, Luke versus Vader, Stone Cold versus Vince McMahon, and Jon Snow versus Ramsey Bolton. So go check it out. FNTSY Radio. Go vote on those polls. We'll talk about more of it in the next hour with Adam Azer from CBS. He's going to be joining us. And he's going to have to pay up on a bet. We got a little audio that we're going to play, Adam Azer. Yeah, Bogman may have won a bet. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk baseball. We're going to talk football. And we're going to answer some of your questions. At us on Twitter, hashtag ITL Live. After Azer's out of here, we want to answer your questions. Baseball, football, about anything. Carl's Jr., doesn't matter. You hit us up, we will answer. Don't go anywhere. Second hour coming up in this league on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.